let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We declare and decree that as we go into the world this morning, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. There is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught. The word is taught with accuracy, with precision. At the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, so this month we've been dealing with generosity. You know, last week Sunday, we looked at a topic called, what? Tithing. It's one of the most controversial topics in the Christian faith. You know, I will look at it on Sunday, what tithing is. I will look at it on Wednesday, what tithing is. So today we want to explain Malachi 3. Right? Malachi 3. You know, we've established over and over, nobody gets rich by giving. Let me say one more time. In case it's not clear. You hear some testimonies, as I sowed this seed, I got a contract the next week. If it works for you and you are sure of it, what do? You give out the whole contract as a seed. So you can get what? More. You know, so we're dealing with tithing. You know, you hear people say things like, oh, because I'm tithing, Deborah is not coming through me. Because I'm faithful in my tithes. You know, and all those kind of things. We hear people that claim to have testimonies. But the truth is that if you analyze it very well, you see that what they call testimony is not testimony. Well, let's just assume it's a testimony. Like we say, miracles happen to both Christians and Muslims. The only miracle that has happened to you as a Christian that has not happened to any Muslim on earth is the miracle of salvation. Are we together? Now, we always say something. In the quest of the passion, that you know, we have a popular figure in the media industry who bashes churches for giving and collecting gifts and things like that. You know, in the quest of being angry about what the church has turned giving to be, we begin to go the extreme. I'm going to teach about how we should not give at all. You know, but that's the wrong practice. Yeah, the fundamental or the foundation of your Christian faith is in the fact that God gave. Are we together? The foundation of the Christian faith, for God so loved the world that he gave. You cannot say you have God in you and not be a giver. But the difference is this, you must be a giver as an end in it and not a means to an, as an end in it. So what does that mean? If you have 100,000 naira and you drop 10,000 naira, what happens to the 10,000 naira? It has gone. Yeah. If that is how God so-called multiplies money, let me tell you, dear saints, yeah, there is no money outside the earth. Every money that comes to you was once with somebody. Yeah, there's no money outside the earth. So if you pray from now to tomorrow and pray from now to next year and say that God prosper me, if you do not walk, you will prosper in poverty. Yeah. Let me say this. You don't pray your way out of poverty. You don't pray your way out of poverty. If I come here and I say, my brother, I see one auntie. Is there anybody auntie is not doing? I see one auntie tying your destiny. Who is there that auntie is not doing? You know, so it's very easy to just get carried away and just be like, ah, yes, Papa. You know, most of us in Nigeria that believe that are poor in the sense, we believe that spiritual thing. Poverty is not spiritual. Hear me and hear me well. This is the night teaching we are doing on this. Poverty is not spiritual. You don't get rich by being a Christian. There's nothing like, because I'm in Christ, I'll never be poor. It's a lie. Yeah, yeah. Nigeria has a, you know, I always say this. Nigeria has a population of 200 million people. BVN came out a few years ago and said that only 45 million Nigerians have BVN in Nigeria. Out of the 45 million Nigerians, only 2% can boast of 500,000 naira and above in their whole account put together. What is 1% of 45 million naira? 45 million people. That's 450,000 Nigerians. What is 2%? 900,000 Nigerians. So there are only 900,000 Nigerians that can boast of 500,000 naira and above. Are you in the number? Now, if there are 1 million Nigerians that can boast of 500,000 naira, that includes atheists, Babalawo, Mamalawo, Sisterlawo, Uncle Alawo. So all of us together, if you count us head counts, we are not up to 1 million. What other country in this world has more churches than Nigeria? What other country in this world has more churches? But there's church here, there's church there, there's church. Yet. So it means that if you have a church, for instance, that seats 500,000 people every Saturday, if there are 1,000 of those people that can boast of 500,000, you are in this church. 1,000 people out of 500,000. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. It's illusion. You don't get rich by sowing seed. You don't get rich by being a Christian. Many people saying that Christ died for my prosperity. I can never be poor. It's a lie. You are privileged. That's why you can see that. Go and say it to people that are in the village. All together. So there are some things we need to carefully say as Christians. We don't lie to people. They told us 2020 is our year. It shocked all of us. It took us on our ways. I'm sure crossovers that now, some bunch of people don't go, Pastor, say another one. Pastor, you said last one. No. Pastor, say another one. You know, all those things, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Promises of God are the promises that God gave to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, the prophets. Yeah, they are yes and amen. What does that mean? Done and fulfilled in Christ. So Christ is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the fathers. Dear saints, yeah, money is made by hard work, labor. Miracles happen, but happen to both Christians and non-Christians. If you don't believe that, then you are living in delusion. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. So, we're dealing with tithing. What is tithing? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Look at this. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Look at it carefully. We do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Yes? So, was there a grace on the churches of Macedonia? We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed. So, there's a grace of God that was bestowed on the churches of God's palace in court. Let's assume we are a Macedonian church. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundant in a great trial of what? So, Christians can go through affliction. That alone should shake our ideology of if you give God your tithe, the brother will not come. No. There are people who give their tithe, even more than their tithe, for instance, and they use the remaining 80 or 90% to take care of their health. Is that not Deborah? There are some. Even if they don't use to take care of their health, rat in their house used to eat it. That is original Deborah. When you give as an end in itself. There is no promise of riches as being a Christian. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their what? Deep poverty. Churches of Macedonia. They didn't say church in Macedonia. Listen. They didn't say the church in Macedonia. They said the churches in area one. Deep poverty. So, was there a grace bestowed upon them in verse 1? What is the grace? How that in a great trial and their deep poverty, they are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. So, the grace of God is seen in how you can give and not how you can amass. You get rich by the works of the earth. You give out by the grace of God. It's not hard. So, you can see that churches have deep poverty. That means you can be a Christian and remain poor forever. You can be a Christian that miracles can happen to you now, every now and then. Yeah? But the truth remains, the resurrection of Christ doesn't sort out your wealth. So tithing is not a principle out of poverty. It is a scam. You don't tithe your way. If you don't give your tithe, you tithe. No. A lot of times when you give your tithe, you become tighter. Because look at it now. Think about it. If you are any 1 million naira every month. Think about it, brother. Eh? If you are any 1 million naira every month, your house rent is 850,000.
you now give 100,000 as a tithe instead. Yeah. Are you not tighter? You have to leave the rest of the month with 50K. Now, when he gets his 1 million naira, is he supposed to give? He's supposed to. The grace bestowed upon them, they are bounded unto the riches of liberality in them. But he did not give the 100,000 so that God will multiply the 850,000. No. Has given me the power to make wealth. That's not lie. How did he give you power to make wealth? He gave you the earth. That's it. The earth created, Adam came. Provision was made before Adam came. Is that not true? Yeah. The reason why we have a lot of rich, a lot of poor, is because what? People have allowed covetousness and stinginess in their hearts, and they hoard the money that is for everybody. Simple. That's clear. It's not hard. My brother, if I pray from now to next year, that God should allow you. You know, there's some prayers we pray to God to help us do, but if you hear somebody praying about you, you will not be happy. I'll think about it now. I'll think about it. Any man sitting on my way to promotion, and there's only one manager on top of you in your office. Lord, unseat them. Your own manager to go to his own office, his own church. Any man below me. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. So, we're dealing with tithing. What is the tithe? What was it meant for? Did God ask for the tithe? Look at Matthew 28. You know, we said something on Wednesday. When you begin to see, the reason why you have a lot of Christians always happy when they hear teachers like this, because they don't want to give, is because they are stingy, covetous, and their hand is like this. That's the only reason. Because you should ask a question. Why God gave himself sacrificially for you to be saved? Why can't you give yourself for the brethren? It's not that hard. You know, I will say something. There are two schools of thought. Tithing is an old covenant practice. Some say tithing has been abolished. We saw in our last week's teaching that Jesus used the word tithe how many times? Twice, right? Beautiful. I did like this, but you got it. That's fine. Yeah, Jesus used the word tithing twice. The writer of Hebrew used the word tithing once. In the entire Matthew to Revelation, there are only three mentions of tithes. Right? The first one in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews uses it as an historical account. Clear? When Jesus mentioned the word tithe, he didn't say pay tithe. He didn't say you must give your tithe if you don't want to be tithe. Yeah? If you are suffering, check your offering. That's lie. That's a scam. Now, why did Jesus mention the word tithe? He was using it to scold hypocritical activities. Right? Now, we saw something also, that you don't escape poverty by giving. Are we together? Else, no Christian should be poor on earth, because all you need to make wealth is 500 naira. Yeah? So, in the real sense, are you to give? You must give, and give sacrificially. It's a must. In fact, if you don't give as a saint, you are in disobedience to scriptures. Yeah? So, we are beginning to round up this. We've established the first fruit to be what? Jesus and his resurrection and people. Yeah, so first fruit was used to teach about what? The believer. We've seen that. We have looked at offering in passing. We're looking at tithe right now. Tithing is a practice that started before the law. The first mention of practice we saw last week was in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham in chapter 13 was very wealthy and rich in cattle, rich in people, rich in silver, rich in gold. Abraham took 318 trained men to go and fight a battle to rescue his Lot. And upon rescuing his Lot, what happens? On his return, he took their goods from the people he defeated, and he gave 10% to Melchizedek. What did Melchizedek do? He brought forth bread and wine and ministered forgiveness of sins. We saw that on Sunday. Are we together? So, Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine the same way Jesus took bread and wine. He wasn't saying you should be breaking bread and wine every service or every once in a year. No. Are we together? Yeah, we have over 20 hours of teaching on that. You might want to lay your hands on that also if that is new to you. Yeah, same thing with baptism. Yeah, we are not instructed to be. When you think of bread and wine, what should you do? You rejoice. Because his body has been broken for you. What does do this in remembrance of me means? It means keep sharing the gospel with the example Jesus has given you. Sacrificial giving. Right? Abraham met Melchizedek. Melchizedek broke bread and wine. That is what? Hebrews 5. A priest is one taken amongst men to minister in reference to sins. Gifts and services for sacrifices for sins. So, Melchizedek brought bread and wine and on account or by faith ahead of the work of Christ, spoke about forgiveness of sins. Are we here? Then Abraham gave tithe. So, Abraham was very wealthy in cattle, animals, people, silver and gold. He went to war. He met Melchizedek who blessed him. Then he gave his tithe. What do we do in the church today? You give your... So, you see, we started this way. What do we do in the church today? You give your tithe so that your pastor blesses you. Then you go for a war. You pay your tithe. Your pastor blesses you. You go for a war. Then you become rich. What did we do? We did it from DCBA. Instead of what? CBA. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all authority, that word their power is the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. He now says, go ye therefore in this authority. I'm asking you to go ye therefore and teach. That word they teach means to make people disciples. So teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the entire Bible, the only place you have name of Father, name of Son, name of the Holy Ghost is in Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 19. Yeah? Yeah, that's the only place in the entire Bible. What we have is the name of the Son. There's nothing like name of Father, name of Son, name of Holy Ghost. Who is this one? Who is this? Name of Father, name of Son, name of Holy Ghost. Okay, this one is to stop. Union. Yeah, so it's only in this portion of the Bible. So what was Jesus really, teaching about? The name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost is equal to the name of the Son upon account of the reputation of the Son. So what we have, a name has been given unto us, that dimension of the name, not the names. Yeah? So we have, what we actually mean in that verse is what? Baptizing them, that is indoctrinating them into the work of the Son. Look at verse 20. Teaching them, so how do you baptize? Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. So how many days did Jesus teach for? So, when Jesus resurrected, he taught for 40 days. Look at Luke 24, verse 24. Certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. So, Jesus resurrected. And they're like, have you not heard about the man that just died? What did Jesus say to them? Oh fools. Why did Jesus call them oh fools? Because they were slow of heart to believe what? All the prophets spoke. And the prophets spoke. What were they to do? The prophets spoke. They were to believe. What did they not do? They did not believe. What did Jesus call them? Fools. So why was he calling them fools? He was giving a narration to the slant of their heart. Are we together? So, beginning at Moses. When you see beginning at Moses, what does that mean? Beginning at the writings of Moses. He expounded, that word he expounded, dear man, it means to explain or to explain across, yeah, unto them in all scriptures. At the time when Jesus said this in Luke 24, what was their scriptures? Genesis 2, Malachi. Are we together? So, when he says he expounded unto them in all scriptures, the things concerning himself, I mean, Jesus went to Genesis and explained himself from Genesis. Is that true? Is that true? We've done teachings on that, right? Look at verse 44. Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things that were written in scriptures must be fulfilled. Which were written in where? Scriptures, right? So what is scriptures? Law of Moses, that is the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books. Are we here? And in the prophet, mention the prophet for me. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Obadiah, Micah, Malachi, Malachi. Yeah, so Malachi was a prophet who Jesus read from, and he explained himself from Malachi. Are we here? And in the Psalm, so Psalm 1 to Psalm 150, Jesus picked the Psalm and explained himself from there. Look at verse 45. Then opened he their understanding. This word here, opened, is the word that means to open something up for the very first time. So if you are the firstborn of your mother, from your mother's womb, you are the one that opened her womb. If you have another child after you, your other child opened her womb also, yeah? But you were the first to open. Are we here? Are we here? So if you are coming to God's palace for the first time right now, yeah, you opened that door. That was your first time you opened this door. Next week, if you come again, you will still open that door. But the open you use for today, it will differ from the open you use from next week, upper week, and continuous. Are we together? Are we together? So he opened for the very first time, he their understanding. That word their understanding is the word that means mindset. So he opened for the first time their mindset that they might what? Understand the scriptures. The second word they understand there means what? To what? Synchronize or put together. Has anybody here seen Broom? No, I just want to be sure. No, some of us are Tush. Some of us were born into vacuum. You've seen Broom together before. Yeah? You know, there's a knot that ties the broom at the edge so you can hold. But if you pick those brooms individually, they are what? Individual sticks. When you put it together, it becomes what? Broom. What did Jesus do? Pick one stick of broom, call it Genesis. Pick a second stick of broom, call it Exodus. Keep picking until you get to Malachi. Then he picked that rubber and he tied everything together. So when you tie all the sticks together, if you see a stick for the first time or alone, does it look like a broom? No. But when you tie other sticks together and you hold it together, what does it look like? A broom. So when Jesus picked Genesis, he picked it, he picked Exodus, he tied everything together. What do you see as the broom? Beautiful. Who said that? Yeah? So you see Jesus as the broom. Is Jesus a broom? Just to be sure. Just to be sure. So when you tie the knot, so that is what I just explained, is explanation of Luke 24:45. He opened, that is, he puts together the bits and portion of broomsticks, put it together, and tied it together. So you can see the person Genesis spoke about, Exodus spoke about, Nahum spoke about. Who were they speaking about? Christ Jesus. Are we here this morning? So it means that when you go back to Genesis, you might not see the name Christ or Jesus, but Jesus is there. Yeah? Remember we said, when you see Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Who is that speaking about? Christ and the church. God said, let there be light. What is the light? The light of the glorious gospel. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image. Who is the image? Christ. Is that clear? For now, yeah? Now, then he opened their understanding that they might synchronize. So they might put what Moses said, what Ezekiel said, and put it together. Now, go to John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Can we read together? Can we read together? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. When he says search the scriptures, what were scriptures at this time? Genesis to Malachi. So what did Jesus say? You search the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. So who is the testimony of scriptures? Christ. Are we together? Look at verse 46. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Verse 46. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. What did Jesus say? If you believe Moses, you will believe me. Why? Because Moses wrote of me. Who was the first person to write about tithe in the Bible? Take back. Where was the first mention of tithe in the Bible? Genesis 14. Who wrote Genesis 14? So who was the first person to write about tithe in the Bible? So Moses wrote about tithe. What did Jesus say about what Moses wrote? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me, of me. We've seen in our previous teachings that when he wrote about first fruits, he was writing about who? Jesus and the saints. Were we able to clear that from scriptures? Did we clear that from scriptures? So had he believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Go back to Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself as one who is approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So a saint must rightly divide the word of truth. See, like I always say, covetousness is a lens by which we read scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved. So you have to labor to understand, what was this speaking about? Really, if I can do all things, why can't I go to the 10th floor and just jump down, just fly like an eagle? When you think about it, you're like, I can't do that though. So what is, I can do all things? What do you do? You go and read it. Yeah, I've learned to abound and learned to abase. For I can do these things because Christ is my strength. So what was Paul saying? Even in poverty, in riches, I am same. Because I don't get my strength from poverty or riches. I get it from what? Christ is my strength. So I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. Are we here? When you read scripture that says, all things are mine. All things cannot be yours. Are we together? When you hear the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, don't say because God is my father, everything for God is me. No, my phone cannot be your phone. Talk more of my wife. Yeah, so Deuteronomy 14 verse 23. This is the reason for the tithe. Remember this teaching? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who wrote this? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed, for Moses wrote of. So who wrote this? Yeah? But if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for Moses wrote of me. So it means that the saint is to diligently go through scriptures to see what Moses said about Jesus. Are we together? Did Moses know Christ? Hebrews 11 verse 24. By faith, Moses esteemed, 24, 25, 26, 27. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches. So did Moses know about Christ? Find it in the place of your heart to believe. What was the reason for the tithe? That thou mayest learn to, what is the word fear? Reverence, right? Honor God. That thou mayest learn to honor the Lord thy God always. So what was the reason for the tithe? To honor God. Who were the people eating the tithe? Men. God does not send his dove to come and pick corn. Are we together? The Levites will not just come and say, oh, yeah, wait, tithe, bring everything, bring everything. Yeah, just go and sleep. At 12 a.m., God will come as a dove and pack. No. Who was the first person to mention tithing? Moses. Let's keep reading. So we see that Moses initiated or instituted the doctrine of tithe under the law. But the tithing starts with the law. When was the law given? Exodus. Where did tithing start? Genesis. Is Genesis before Exodus? So tithing started before Exodus. So Moses was born in Exodus and initiated tithing as a practice. So it means that the tithing, that's what is tithe? The word tithe is just a tenth part. Right? The word there, tithe, which means a tenth part, means that it started before Moses. But Moses sustained the practice under the law. So first of all, it wasn't a law. Second of all, Moses now saw from that and initiated it under the law. What was Moses writing about? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. Are we together? So the reason for the tithe that Moses initiated. Now, did God ask Abraham to give the tithe? Abraham gave the tithe out of honor. Clear? Did God ask Jacob to give the tithe? Second mention. He gave it out of honor. So what did Moses pick from their practice? Honor. He tells you that thou mayest learn to honor the Lord thy God always. So Moses Abraham gave his tithe in honor to God, but to a man. Yeah? Melchizedek did not say, this is a tithe, I won't touch it, it's for God. No. It is Melchizedek to use. When initiated the law of tithing, it was for people who were widows, fatherless, the Levites, to eat. Clear? I just recapped our last few teachings. Now, so to honor God, to reference God, so the reason for them to give was to worship God. So can we say people were worshiping God by their giving? So people honored God and worshiped God by their giving. So they were worshiping God, they were referencing God by their giving. So look at it. Nobody's physical eyes has seen God. The best of God mankind has seen is who? Jesus. So if you say you love God, Rebra Moses, if you say you love God, for instance, and you want to express your love to God, who will see it? Men. Are we here? Look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby we perceive with the love of God. First John 3:16. Don't lose track. We're going to say very, very tricky things in the next few minutes. Yeah? Explaining Malachi 3. Hereby perceive with the love of God. Look at it. So, how do we understand the love of God? Even for God to demonstrate his love towards us, he had to give us something for our eyes to see. Think about that. For God to demonstrate his love for us, he had to give us something tangible for our eyes to see. So, the sacrifice of Jesus, was it to God or to man? The sacrifice of Jesus, was it to man or to God? See, you people are saying this thing like word men. It's not a word that people can slap you for this thing you are saying, no. How can I say Jesus Christ says, go and sit down? Think about it. If God needed the sacrifice, there's no difference between God and Babalawo. Because God had to be angry and needed something to appease him for him not to be angry again. Remember, anger is an emotion that is birthed from the heart and mind of men. The only reason why you get angry if I slap you is because you didn't see it coming. Do you understand? But the moment you say God is angry, it means that God is not Alpha and Omega and is not omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. That means he doesn't know all. So God knew from the beginning what Adam would do and prepared a propitiation. God did not get surprised or shocked by Adam. No, he didn't shock God. Yeah, Adam did not do what he did. Adam, you. God knows the end from the beginning. So what Adam did not shock God. So God knew this is what Adam would do and prepared a propitiation for what Adam would do to redeem man back. Are we together? The only way that could be done was for the same man he created to see an expression of his love in the person of Jesus. So, the sacrifice of God or Jesus was not to God. No, God was not the one doing it. Smith's friendly servant. No. It was to the consciousness of man. The moment you say the sacrifice of Jesus was to God, it means that you can put God and Babalawo on the same page and collect like terms. You just realize that God is a better Babalawo. Altogether. Yeah. So, when you see in the Bible, God killed, it means that God has changed over time. So, you cannot say, unchangeable, you are that God. Mm-mm. He has changed. Because Jesus came to soften his heart. God is God all by himself, who came in the person of Jesus to express his love. Hereby we perceive the love of God. In that he laid down his life for us. So God from the beginning said, I love Manu. But man could not comprehend the love until this point. Are we here? So hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and by extension. So God gave an example for us to follow, and by extension, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice for man. Let's stick there. We'll teach on that better in the years to come. Now, by the example you've seen of sacrificial giving, what do? You have to give sacrificially. So you see what I said? So anyone who doesn't give and gives sacrificially is not paying attention to scriptures. We saw in scriptures last week, nobody pays tithes to be justified. We saw that. Yeah? Luke 18. Yeah? The Pharisee was saying that I give that I fast 2 times a week. The other one said, I am merciful. Be merciful unto me. I am a sinner. Romans 5. Therefore, we are being justified by faith. We have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? Now, Moses established the tithing as a law. So it means that, listen to this attentively. It means that Moses found a way to be able to make the people practice what he wanted them to believe. Who was Moses writing about? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. But Moses could not write it straight. If you had seen it straight, you would not be. Genesis chapter 1, he died. Chapter 2, he resurrected. Exodus, he's alive. Imagine that's all your Bible. So when Moses wrote, the children of Israel were walking through the Red Sea, going to a promised land. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. What is he teaching about? We who were in bondage. Where is bondage? Egypt. So Egypt in the Bible is figurative for bondage. So children of Israelites were in Egypt. They were under the bondage, so-called figuratively, of the devil. And what? He's pleased us. See, now we have walked right through it. How did he walk right through it? Through his blood. Through the giving of his spirit. So we have come to the promised land. So if Moses said Garden of Eden, if Moses said Tree of Life, is Tree of Life talking about tree under your roof or a person? A person. So when you see the narration of Tree of Life, if you had believed Moses, he wrote about me. There's no tree of life. God did not plant any tree and say, this tree is Tree of Life. This one is Tree of Mango. No. There's no tree called Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. No. That's figurative. So what would Tree of Life mean? What would Garden of Eden mean? Can it be the work of the Spirit on the earth? Who is the Tree of Life? I am the way, the truth, life. So Jesus is life. So what will be Tree of Life in Garden of Eden? This work of the Spirit on the earth, on the land. Is that similar to the promised land? Okay, let's get there. Now, let's go to the popular scripture. So, we said something. Let me say it one more time. Tithing did not start under the law. It preceded the law, but was sustained under the law. What was the reason? For honor, that thou mayest learn to fear. Let's go to Malachi 3. Now, who gave them the law? Moses or God? Beautiful. Beautiful. Never miss it. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses. That word there, given, means to offer. So the law was offered by Moses. Grace, that is the reality, came through Jesus. Look at Malachi 3. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Now, when Malachi was Malachi, what was his Bible? Genesis, right? So the writings of Moses would have been his name. So when Malachi is writing about tithing, where did he see it from? Moses. So when Malachi tells you, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. The reason for the tithe was to honor God. But the honoring of God was to give to men. The tithing was for who? Orphans, widows, fatherless, the Levites, those who didn't have any inheritance in the land. So what is bringing the tithe into my house that there might be food? Okay, hold on. Hold on. Hold your thoughts there. Are we in church this morning? Now, the tithing started from Genesis. Let's recap again. Is that true? Did God ask for it? Okay, why did they give it? To honor. In the law of Moses, did Moses establish it as a law? Tithing. Did he? Yes. What was the reason? that thou mayest learn to honor God. Clear? Clear? Now, when in Luke 24, where we read, Jesus expounded unto them the things concerning himself from Genesis to Malachi. So, Jesus went to Malachi and explained himself as a tithe. Same way he would have gone to Genesis to explain himself as a tithe. So, that's what I'm trying to study. All together. Now, before he's there, look at Matthew 16, verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. Matthew 16, 21. Remember, look at Matthew 16, 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests. Was this before his crucifixion? Please, I beg you, don't lose track. Yeah? Don't lose track, yeah? We come to church to focus on God's word. Yeah? Was this before his crucifixion? Right? So, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. So, how did he show? By teaching. Is that true? So, Jesus began to teach unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders. Where was Jesus teaching from? At the time when this was happening, was there the book of Matthew? So, what were Jesus' scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. Right? Go back to Luke 24:44. Remember, this was before. Okay, hold on. Many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Christ will die and rise on the third day. So Jesus preached the gospel before his crucifixion. Where did he preach it from? Scriptures. Look at Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Can we say while I was yet with you is Matthew 16? Matthew 16. Is that true? So, while I was, these are the words. So, Jesus, now, Luke 24. Jesus had already resurrected. Is that true? What is he saying? These are the words I spake unto you while I was yet with you. So, the words I said to you before I died are the same words I'm saying unto you now. Saint, look at this. When we read Matthew 16, what did Jesus say? How that you will go and suffer and rise on the third day. Is that not the gospel? What did he say here? While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the scriptures concerning me. Look at this. So it means that the writings of Moses, the summary of the writings of Moses, were equal to the writings of the prophets, were equal to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were equal to the things Jesus said before he was crucified, and they were equal to the things he said upon resurrection. If you are confused, let me see your hands. Don't be shy. I'll go over again for you. So, Jesus taught from scriptures. Look at 1 Peter. Peter 2 taught from scriptures. 1 Peter 1 verse 9 to 11. 1 Peter 1 verse 9. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have required and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Is that the same grace bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia? Okay. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. What will this Spirit be? Message. Are we together? Searching what or what manner of time the message of Christ, which was in them, did signify. That means the prophets of the old are the message of Christ. When it what? Testified beforehand the what? Sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That means the prophets were writing about what? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Can you go to a portion of the Old Testament books and see that plain? Can you go to the portion of the Old Testament book and see Jesus as a name? Can you see Christ as a name? But did they write about Christ? So they wrote about Christ without mentioning Christ. Look at Acts 26. Look at Acts 26 verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying no other thing than what? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. So did the prophet and Moses say something will happen? What did they say will happen? Christ will be crucified and will rise on the third day. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of who? Now, let's see something. Go back to Malachi 3. Look at verse 1. Remember, you know, a good way to understand the book of Malachi, before you get to Titan, a lot of we pastors are very interesting. We leave the entire, you know, most pastors don't know how to quote any other thing in Malachi. Apart from tithe. Now, when you read the book of Malachi, Prophet Malachi is speaking. Right? Who was Malachi speaking about? Things that had to do with Christ. Now, see this utterance. Behold, I will send my messenger. Is that an utterance? What is an utterance? An utterance is when you speak as a spokesperson for God. So, you can say, thou says the Lord, I will do a great thing in your life. I'm not the one that has the ability to do a great thing in your life. What did I do? I spoke as a spokesperson for God. So when I say I will, don't look at me. It's an utterance. Behold, I will send my messenger. Does Malachi have energy to send a messenger? Does he have a messenger? Yeah? So behold, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is that? Did you get it? Who was John the Baptist? One who went ahead of Jesus to prepare the way for Jesus. Are we together? So when you say, behold, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is the I will? God, Christ. Who is the messenger? John the Baptist. Yeah? Whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. So there's a messenger to prepare the way. There's a messenger of the covenant. So in Malachi 3 verse 1, there are two messengers. One to prepare the way. One, the messenger of the covenant. Whom ye delight in, behold, it shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Follow attentively. So two messengers were spoken about. Look at Acts 19 verse 4. What now? The first messenger, what was his message? Prepare a way. But what was his message? You should know that. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Right. Who said, behold? John. Right? So, John said, behold this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, can we say, John is saying, behold the messenger of the covenant who takes away the sins of the world. You there? Right? So, look at this. Acts 19. No, look at verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. So, when you see John here, can you put into bracket the messenger to prepare the way? Beautiful. I love that. Yeah? Saying unto the people that thou should believe on him. When you see him, can you put messenger of the covenant? You there? Yeah? That they should believe on him, we should come after him, that is on Christ. So it's Christ the messenger of the covenant. So John the messenger prepared the way. Christ the messenger of the covenant. Yeah, look at Luke 7. Look at Luke 7 verse 28. For I say unto you, look at it, amongst those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Can you put it to bracket, the messenger who prepares the way? But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Are we together? Look at Romans 15. Romans 15, 8. Wherefore, now I say that Christ Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father. So is Christ the fulfillment of the promises made unto the fathers? Are we here? Beautiful. Now, look at something very interesting. Go back to Malachi 3. Behold, I will send a messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is that? Baptist, right? John the Baptist, right? Yeah, you know, now, you know, there was no prophecy about John that he will be a Baptist. Are we together? No prophecy about John that he will put people into water. God didn't send John to put people into water. John used water to teach about the work of the cleansing of the spirit. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? Are we together? That's why it says, he that comes after me, I am not worthy enough to untie the lace of his shoe. So John used water as his avenue or advert to gather people together. So John used water baptism to speak about the inner cleansing that will happen to the saint or a man who believes the gospel. Are we here? So the messenger of the covenant whom he delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. Who is the he that shall come? Is that similar to though it might tarry, wait for him, he will surely come? Make sense? Okay. When you see that, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Yeah? Do it, Mitari. He's not saying, write it on the tablets of. He's not saying when you have vision. Now, is it wrong to have vision and write in your wall of your room? Like scatter your room, that's your business. Yeah? But if you have vision on your wall and you don't walk towards it, it's a vision. Yeah. Habakkuk. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Hebrews 10, 20, 37 tells us. Yeah, he. So you see it in the Bible. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Wait for it. It will not tarry. It will surely come to pass. Yeah. Who was Habakkuk speaking about? Jesus. So for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Wait for him. He will not tarry. He will surely come. He, not it. He's not saying if you have vision, write it and give it to God. Mm-mm. If you, there are people that have written vision. How many of us wrote? That's not good there. He's not saying if you write vision, gives to God, God takes over. No. The vision is yet for an appointed time. What is the vision? Habakkuk as a prophet was prophesying about what? The work of Christ that was to come. That's why in verse 14 of Habakkuk 2, what does it say? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory, just like the waters covers the sea. Knowledge of who? Knowledge of the dear son. Are we together? So, though it may tarry, wait for him. It's similar to, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Utterance. Verse 2, what is he coming for? But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refinery fire, or refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. When can you see refiner's fire, fuller soap? What comes to your mind? Cleansing. I love that. So, what? Remission, right? So, what will come to your mind when you think of cleansing? Of what? Sins. Look at verse 3. So, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Yeah? And he shall purify the what? Sons of Levite. Who are the Levites? Go to Hebrews 5 verse 1. Hebrews 5 verse 1. Hebrews 5 verse 1. So, when Malachi chapter 3 verse 2 was talking about a refiner, a cleansing soap, a fuller soap, look at Malachi 5 verse 1. Remember, who are the Levites? The priests. Are we together? The Levite was the lineage that had the responsibility for priests. Who are the priests? For every high priest taken from amongst men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Did God ask them to get priests to do this? No. What was Moses doing? Moses used the idea of priests and offering of sacrifice to teach about what? The offering of Christ as our sacrifice. That the priest may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sin. Who is he who is supposed to be the gift and sacrifice for sin? Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Verse 3. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. So, the Levitical order was a type and shadow, pointing their attention to what? The offering of Christ. So, were they men who were giving gifts and sacrifices for sin? Yes. What was that practice to point their attention to? The offering of Christ. So, go back to Malachi 3. In fact, go to Acts 7:47. Look at Acts 7:47. But Solomon built him an house. Did Solomon build a temple? Did Solomon build a temple? Did he? Look at 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in, as said the prophet. Look at it. Have you seen people who, let me say this. I've seen people who come to empty church and come and kneel down beside the altar. But I say, ah, it does not happen. Okay. I've seen you down in front. Yeah? Right? I've not seen people come to an empty church and kneel down in front of the altar. What did they do? You are a believer who houses God. You took God from your house. You took him on excursion. So, even in those days, look at it. How be it? The Most High doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. As said the prophet, did the prophet say that God dwells in temple? Is it the Bible? The prophet said God dwells in temples made with hands. What did he tell you in verse 47? Solomon built a temple. Does God dwell in temples? No! Once it is made in hand, with hand, it cannot house God. The only house that can house God is the house he makes. Are we together? So what is the house God makes? The saints. Prophet said God lives in temples. Philip corrects them. Says, forget all those grammar. It's wash. They are washing God. Did they have a practice of temple? Yes. What was the temple typifying? The saints. So, is the saint the temple where the tithe will be brought in? He's laughing. He said, that's it. Let's close church. Let's just close church. So when he says that the house may not be able to contain, what is that? The overwhelming goodness of God is poured forth to the believer. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as the prophet said. Look at verse 49. So one of the prophets, does that include Malachi? The Malachi say, come into the temple. Yes. Okay. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. So this scripture is not saying that God's seat is in heaven. Or the whole earth is like, no. God is big. Just leave it like that. Don't try to explain it. This is a figurative expression. So, heaven, where is heaven? On earth. Right? Heaven is not the sky. Remember? Yeah. Remember what? Yeah? What you call heaven as the sky is earth. And think about it now. Can't you fly out of the sky? So it means that you fly out of heaven. You went out of God's jurisdiction. So when he says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, what house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? So what is the place of rest for God? The saints. Hold on. Well, I've not started though. But I've not started. So, remember, the priest, Malachi says, go back to Malachi 2. Go back to Malachi 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So before you read Malachi 3, you must have read Malachi 2 when it says the commandment was for priests. Go to Revelation 1 verse 6. And hath made us kings and has made who? Us kings and priests unto God, and that is his Father. To him be glory, dominion forevermore. So the saint is now a king and priest. I am a royal priesthood. Malachi 2 verse 1. This commandment is for you, O ye priest. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house. God doesn't dwell in houses made with hands. But you are a lively stone, a living stone, built up with a spiritual house and holy priesthood. What's the word there, holy? Set apart. Yeah? So a set apart priesthood. He has made us kings and priests. Yeah? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. Look at verse 9. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Where is that portion taken from? Psalm. Are we together? Yeah. The stone that the builder rejected will become a marvel, will become a chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What is the Lord's doing? It's not your car. Are we together? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and are glad in it. What is the day? The day of resurrection. So, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He's speaking about who? Christ! So, the day when that stone, what does it mean that the stone that was rejected, people did despise him? The day he died, he resurrected. Upon resurrection, he became the chief cornerstone. He that believes on him shall not be confounded. This is the Lord's doing. Hallelujah. Yeah, not your car. Nope. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in my sight. This is the Lord's doing. I will praise the Lord. Don't say that concerning Toyota Corolla 1999 model. It's shameful. You didn't buy Rolls Royce 2020. At least we can even pity you and say maybe it's the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing upon resurrection. Yeah? Upon resurrection. The stone that he despised, they didn't know that, as we're despising him, he was so that he will rise for the forgiveness of sins of mankind. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. We can behold the marvelous nature of his work. Psalm 118, next verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's not Sunday. No, this is the day of resurrection. The dispensation of resurrection. When that day, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. When that day, oh glory, when that day. When that day, when that day, when the stone that was rejected is now the chief cornerstone. Oh, we've been made to be a spiritual house for God. Who? A house God. A house God. When that dispensation which the Lord has made, how did he make it? By the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be God. Praise be God. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 6. And he has raised us up together. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. He has raised us up together in heavenlies. Look at it again. He has raised us up together and made us to sit. We sit comfortably. Yeah? He has made us to sit together in heaven. Where? In Christ. So where is heaven? So where is heaven from here? In Christ. Where are you? In Christ. Blessed be our God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. In heaven in Christ. So heaven is found in Christ. We are in Christ. We are in heaven. So the saint doesn't walk towards making heaven. Upon believing the gospel, you've entered. Hallelujah. In the real sense, hold on. In the real sense, your entering is the bringing ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Look at verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation for God through his spirit. God only makes his habitation by himself. God uses his hand to make the place where he wants to stay. Man cannot build a place for God. If you like, call it 20 billion capacity. No, God cannot stay there. God is bigger than that. God is bigger than the biggest building you can have that you call a church. But guess what? The saint is big enough to house God. The saint is big enough, as small as you are big enough to house God. Look at it again. He says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through his spirit. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house. Ooh, glory to God. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house? Good way. That's a good way to read it. Whose house we are. For Christ as a son over his own house. So we are God's house. If we hold steadfast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, you house God forever. Are we together? Are we together? Go back to Malachi 3. I thought we'll finish this teaching today, but no, we've not touched it. We've not touched it. Look at Malachi. Do you know what I'm about to say? You say at all. Do you know what I wrote in my notes? You say at all. Look at Malachi 3 verse 1. Look at Malachi 3 verse 1. God doesn't dwell in places made with hands. So, did God ask Solomon to build a temple? So, when he says, God said, I should build a 500,000 capacitor. Or God, no. If there's a need to keep 500,000 people under one roof, build it. Don't attach God. Don't justify. Don't try to explain why people will fight you. No. It's not that hard. If there's a need for us to build a bigger place, we build. But God doesn't dwell. Glory to God. So once the saints leave the auditorium, the church is an empty building. That's why you can see some venues and hotels where they rock it and dig it on Saturday night into 6 a.m. Ushers will come in and be clearing beer bottle. But guess what? When saints are gathered, what? So we are saints, we make the church the church. So that's why you hear some people say, I don't like going to church. Some people hear this thing and say, I'm the church. You are the church. I'm the church. Say it better. I'm the body of Christ. Look at Malachi 3, verse 1. Go to verse 10. Bring ye. I'm going to pay attention to that word ye on Wednesday. Please don't lose track on Wednesday. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house. Go back to verse 1. Hold on. Go to John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Can we say that's the meat of life? Can we say that's the meat of life? Meat can be figurative for that which is to be eaten. Yeah, so I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So, look at it. Just to show you that bread is not speaking about literal bread. He says bread. You don't use bread to quench your thirst. You don't use bread to quench your... I'm thirsty. You put 10 loaves of bread in your mouth. You are thirsty. So, when it says bread, it is figurative for that which is to be eaten that gives satisfaction. So, look at Matthew. Don't go there. Matthew 6. Yeah? Our Father who art in heaven. So, when it says our Father who art in heaven, was it like this? Our Father who art in me. Hallowed be thy name. Now, we don't pray that prayer again. Yeah? Thy will has been done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and earth is now in a union. Christ and the church. You give us this day our daily bread. That word daily bread is what sufficient bread. That which satisfies to the fullest. The bread itself supplies food and water. That's why it says, I am the bread of life that quenches the thirst. What is you give us this day our daily bread? You forgive our sins, so we forgive others. Hallelujah. Go to Malachi 3. Let's end there. Oh, glory, glory, glory. You know what? I prepared your mind for an extra service today, right? It's not new. So when he says, now, bring ye all the tithes, who taught about tithes? Moses, to honor God. In giving honor to God, who were they giving the tithes to? Men. So they were to bring the tithe into the storehouse that they may be meat in God's house. Go to verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. So, hold on, let me get you now. That the Lord ye seek should suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger, so that is the messenger of the new covenant. So, the word temple is used in verse 1. What is the word temple in verse 10? Go back to verse 10. Shall come into his temple. What is the lost temple in verse 10? Storehouse, number 2. My house. Are we together? The Lord, verse 1, suddenly, that is the messenger of the covenant, shall come into his temple. Where does God dwell? In temples he makes, not in temples made with hands. So what is the temple Malachi was prophesying about? The saints. So you as the saint is God's house. You as the saint is God's storehouse. So I am the temple, I am the storehouse, I am God's house. Hold on. When the prophets or the priests were to bring in the tithe, or people were to bring in tithe, was what? So that there will be food. Remember, when they brought the tithe, they were all to eat together and be satisfied. Last week's teaching. What is the bread that brings satisfaction? You give us this day our daily bread, sufficient bread. So Moses was given an instruction for the people of Israel to supply food to those who did not have inheritance. Who were those? The Levites, the fatherless, the motherless. Moses was using the tithe to supply food for those who did not have inheritance. So we, without inheritance, Christ is the supply for us. Let's end in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Look at this. For when, remember, the motherless, the fatherless, the Levites, who had no inheritance, for when we're yet without strength, does that mean we didn't have inheritance? Yes? In due time, Christ died for us, the ungodly. Verse 6, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man should some even die. Death to die, verse 8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ was the tithe that came into the temple. Let it sink, let it sink, let it sink. Let it sink, let it sink, let it sink. So Christ that came into the temple became the strength for us. So we now have an inheritance. So bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Who was to fulfill it? Man or God? If the temple is the saint, and the tithe is to come into the saint, who was to fulfill it? Man or God? God! So bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse will be I, Alpha, Omega, will come into the storehouse, that is the temple, and make you my habitation. Go back to Malachi 3:10. Don't worry. We'll tie the knot well on Wednesday. I've left a lot of open things for us, right? Now, prove me now here with, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven. What is window of heaven? Figurative for what? The indwelling of Christ or the coming of the Spirit. Window of heaven, that which supplies. So, bringing the tithe into the temple is equal to the window of heaven opened. Are we here? Here? I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. What is the blessing? Christ, the inheritance we have. Hallelujah. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. What does that mean? The blessing that God will give, which is the gift of Christ, will be so overwhelming that it will contact you. You will be a contagious person of God's goodness. Hallelujah. So, you are the promised land that God told Abraham, the land flowing with milk and honey. What is milk and honey? The bread of life. What is bread of life? The meat in my storehouse. I love you all. Have a beautiful week.